Church, let us open the Bible in John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. The Lord is my light and my salvation. John chapter 8, verse 12. For today, church, instead of reading everything in chronological way, we're going to read like puzzles, okay? It's going to make our lives so much easier. Therefore, read it and keep your Bibles at hand so we can always come back and refer to the Bible. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The title of this sermon, it's literally Psalm 27. And the verse we are reading now, it's verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12 says this. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. God loves us. That's why he gave us his word. God loves us. That's why he gave us his son on the cross. And God loves us. That's why he gave us his spirit. Let the Holy Spirit be the teacher here today. Church, as soon as Jesus says, I am the light of the world, everybody knows. Just a minute, the title. Everybody knows that the Lord is the light. So it's straightforward. If Jesus claims to be the light, he's claiming to be God. It's automatically. And we see that in verse 20. Let us see verse 20, all the way down. He spoke these words while teaching the temple area near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his time had not yet come. If they could, they would seize him. If they could, they would charge him with blasphemy. You are a man and you call yourself God. That's, in their understanding, blasphemy. They did not touch Jesus because his hour was not yet to come. So now, yes, next slide. This claim, I am the light of the world, it's one claim. And automatically there is three objections. And church, I need to give you a little bit of background. People who are normal, they listen to a claim, and they listen to the claim, life goes on. That's normal people. All of you, you are normal, okay? All of you are normal. Critical people, they are not normal. They listen a claim, and instead of life go on, they become critical. I'll give you one example. Raise your hand, okay, if you agree with me. Raise your hand. This church is beautiful. Okay, good. You're normal people. Yes, this church is beautiful. Everybody knows that. But that's not the way a critical mind works. Define beautiful. Who else is saying that? By which standards? Have you been to another church? How come you know this church is beautiful if you have never been to another church? This is critical people. So as soon as Jesus says, I am the light of the world, critical people object. Instead of receiving, instead of accepting, instead of following him, they come with objections. And that's the first point of the sermon. Let us see their objections. First objection, it is in verse 13. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are appearing as your own witnesses. Your testimony is not valid. So what's their first two objections? You don't have witnesses. Simple words. Jesus, you claim you are the light. But nobody else is saying that. Yourself proclaim yourself. That's the first objection. Second objection, your testimony is not valid. And the church, let me go a little bit deep. What do they mean when they say your testimony, your claim is not valid? They make the worst and most painful objection ever. This is the worst. They object like this: Jesus, your claim is circular. You say you're the light. Why? Because I am the light. Okay, why are you the light? Because I am the light. Whatever you claim, there is no content. Your content, it's go back to ground zero. Circular claim. Abstract. No content. Not valid. That's the worst objection they could have ever made. And the last objection they make, it's in verse 19. Jesus mentions the Father in his defense. We're going to see that in the next point. But in verse 19, they're going to make their third objection. Then they asked him, where is your Father? Jesus, you claim your Father is for you. You claim your Father is your witnesses. You claim your Father is the content of your claim. But where is your Father? We don't see him. And God is a spirit. Nobody has never seen God. God dwells in unapproachable light. You cannot approach how holy he is. Nobody has ever seen. So they say, their third objection, where is your Father? You claim he is your witnesses, but we don't see him. These are tough objections, church. Very, very tough. I believe what we are witnessing here, it is nothing but a discussion between lawyers, people who have brilliant minds, people who have great arguments. And we need to be honest here. Let us put the Bible aside for a minute. Self-proclamation is a problem. Okay? Self-proclamation, circular claims, no witnesses. These things are indeed a problem. I'll give you one example. Somebody walks in the building and he says he's the pastor. I'm a pastor. I am a dominate. Who doesn't know who is a domine? For those who don't speak Dutch, domine is the pastor. So the guy comes and says, I am a domine. And you say, okay, good, come on in. And we let him preach one Sunday. Okay, where is your church? No, I don't have. I am the next Billy Graham. I don't have one church. I'm too good to one church alone. I have multiples. So then you start to say, this domine is a fake domine. Then you ask a follow-up question. Where did you study? What's your credentials? Never went to school. You know, schools are too biases, too much money. No. I taught myself. I studied online. And by online, you know it's YouTube. That's all he does. Self-proclamation is a problem. Okay? And it is a reality. Let us see how Jesus is going to defend these objections and this attack, which is our second point. I invite you to read verse 14 and verse 15. Verse 14, Jesus says, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going, but you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. Church, Jesus' defense is remarkable. Verse 15 here is key. You judge according to human standards. Why, church? Why is this important? Okay, let me grab this cup here. Church, science is very important. Science is good. It's important that when you are making a cup, you have different sources, different witnesses, different opinions. Yes, the logo is good. Yes, the guy, he looks like the real guy. We are not missing anything. The guy is not going to sue us. We have a contract with him. All is cleared. Many witnesses, legalistic, marketing, money, revenue, costs, everything makes sense. We should make this cup because young Brazilian is going to buy it like a kid. We're going to make money of him. That's good, okay? That's important. That's witnessing, evidence-based, that's science, knowledge. However, church, however, when you are talking about the meaning of life, what's the purpose of life? What do I live for? When you talk about those things, guess what? You cannot put that on a lab. You cannot put that on a microscope. Science will never answer to you what's the meaning of life. They can tell you how far is Earth from the sun. They cannot tell you what's the meaning of life. And that's what Jesus is talking to them. When Jesus claimed, "I am the light of the world," he is saying, "I am the meaning of life. I am the hope of life. I am the savior of life." What do humans live for? For my glory. Those things you cannot answer with the lab. Those things you believe, you accept, and you follow. So that's Jesus' first defense. Second defense of him, still with that verse in mind, you judge with human standards. Pay attention, church, that they twisted a little bit the words witnessing. Witnessing, it's one thing. Endorsement, it's a completely different thing. Jesus says in verse 54, "I testify on my own behalf, and my testimony is valid." Church, I am statements. They don't need witnesses. They don't need endorsement. They must be achieved. Okay? The more there is witnessing, the more there is endorsement, it actually backfires because it means you are not who you claim you are. Okay, that became a little bit hard to understand. Let us use an illustration. When the sun rises up, does the sun need witnesses? Or you are like me. I am supposed to wake up every day at 11 a.m., good long night of sleep. But at 5 a.m., my room is all lit. The sun show up. And then I woke up at time? 6 a.m. The sun doesn't need witnessing. It comes and everybody sees it. And it affects everybody. Messi. Does Messi need witnessing? No. Put him on the field, give the ball on his foot, and he's going to show you that he is the best. Michael Jordan. Who knows Michael Jordan? Does he need the, oh, he's the best, oh, let us have a debate if he's the... No, he's a legend. Gustavo Módulo, give the ball to him, and he's going to prove to you that he's not the best, right? Those are I am claims. You don't need endorsement. You either prove it or not. Say amen if you're following me. So ask everybody. Ask the lady, the adulterous lady we saw last Sunday, if Jesus is the light, and she's going to tell you, yes, obviously, I was about to die, and now I'm alive. Ask every blind man he healed, living in darkness, and now they see. That's what Jesus is talking about. I am who I am. That's his first defense. His second defense, now we're going to read verse 16 to verse 18. Because I find this amazing what Jesus does now. But if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witnesses is the one who sent me, the Father. They asked him, where is your Father? And Jesus says, you do not know me or my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. The second way Jesus defends himself, I find beautiful, because Jesus doesn't need to defend himself on the basis of witnesses. We just saw this. I am claims doesn't need witnesses. But Jesus is going to come to their own grounds and to their own terms, and Jesus is going to call witnesses to prove that he is the light. And he's going to mention my Father, and he's going to mention the law. Father, Spirit, law, the Bible. The most important document ever. The most reliable one. The best witness. And always remember this, church, a side note for all of us here. Our faith must be the Father. Our faith must be scriptures. We cannot have one or the other. If we have just a spiritual faith, we become mysticism. If we only have the latter, a moral conduct, we become moralistic. We need to have both. Okay? The Father, the power of the Spirit, the love of God, scriptures, doctrine, ethics, life, relationship with God. Jesus calls the Father and the Bible his witnesses. And I think, let me separate both of them. When Jesus says that the Father is his witness, it reminds me of the words of Nicodemus. We are in John chapter 8. Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee, he met with Jesus 5 chapters before, John chapter 3. And Nicodemus, as soon as he came before Jesus, he introduced himself like this. Jesus, we know that you come from God, because nobody can do the things you are doing if God's not with him. We know God is with you. All the miracles, all the doctrines, the way you behave, we know God's with you. That's a big witness. But now let us see the Bible as a witness of Christ. They are asking for 2 or 3 witnesses to prove that Jesus is the light of the world. That's the objection. Jesus calls the Bible as a witness. And church, the Old Testament has 300 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled on the dot. 300. They ask three. Jesus adds two zeros more. 300. Out of these 300 prophecies, 8 of them Jesus fulfilled when he was born. And why that's an important information? When he is adult, he can fulfill prophecies willingly and intentionally. Okay, I need to open the eyes of the blind, therefore I go and I open the eyes of the blind. Okay, I need to go to the cross, therefore I go to the cross. He can fulfill those intentionally. How about the ones when he is born? 8 of them, he cannot help. He cannot fulfill intentionally. He fulfills just by the fact that he was born. Born in Bethlehem, born from the Virgin, going to Egypt, coming back from Egypt. Herod's gonna try to kill you. You're gonna be called Nazarene. Your name is gonna be Emmanuel. The Lord saves, Jesus. Yahweh is my salvation. All of those prophecies Jesus fulfilled on the dot, and he never contributed to it. If they need witness, Jesus has 300 of them. And I love a quote I have here for you on the notes. 300 prophecies are way better, speak way better than 300 objections. Jesus is very, very credible. He is the light of the world. So now that you saw their objection, now that you saw Jesus' defense, this beautiful defense, let us analyze the claim. I think this is the most important part of this section. That's why I put it at the end instead of the beginning. I am the light of the world. Let us try to really digest every word there. I am. What does that mean? It means that Jesus is God. In the Old Testament, when God revealed himself to Moses, Moses asked him, "What's your name?" And God said, "You exist. The heavens exist. The earth exists. I am. I am not a creature. I am the creator. I'm self-sufficient, self-existence. I'm life-giving. I am who I am." When Jesus says, "I am," he's saying, "I am God." That article, sometimes we just go. No Buddha, no Muhammad, no discipline, no charity, no good work, no you added. Nothing is the light of the world except Jesus Christ himself. He's the only way, the only truth, the only life. Light, let's check world first. World. That's an important word because it tells you the scope of Jesus' ministry. He is the light of the world. He is the savior of the world. In the Old Testament church, God's mission was centralized. Israel, Palestine, Jerusalem, Jewish people, the temple. In the New Testament, our job is not centralized. Whitby, ERC, 401 Roslyn. No, in the New Testament, the job is worldwide. He is the light of the world. And yes, that's why we give some money. We fund missionaries that we don't know who they are. We don't know their names. They don't know who we are. But that doesn't matter. Because our mission, Jesus' mission, it is worldwide. They will go where we cannot go. They will do what we cannot do. But we fund them. That's the scope of the mission. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let us see now the difference between darkness and light. That's talking about nature. We, the world, and he's not talking about the world like a material world. He's talking about people. The people of the world, it is in darkness. Sinful nature, decaying, doomed to die. There is no plastic surgery, there is no eat healthy, there is no sports, nothing can stop. Death, decay is coming our way. But on the opposite hand, I am the light of life. I am not from this world. I do not have a sinful nature. Actually, I'm holy. I'm the Savior. I'm life-giving. And I am the life for your world. I am the Savior of your world. And that literally makes us fall into the main aspect of this claim, which is the light. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, we need to be very pay attention here. That means that God is transcendent and he is immanent, both at the same time. I repeat this. God is transcendent. God is immanent. Why it is important we understand this? God transcends his creation. He's not a creature. He is the creator. Why it is this is important? Because if you get a pagan, a Hindu, someone pantheist, they look at this claim and they say, okay, Jesus is the light, therefore Jesus is the sun. Or Jesus is the lamp. No, you have mistaken the creator with the creature and you merged them. That's wrong. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is transcendent. He is the light, not of the darkness, not of the world, but he is the light of life. He is from a different nature than the world. He is the creator. And the world is creature. He transcends. But he is also immanent. Yes, God is not the sun. Yes, God is not the lamp. But guess what? God is here. Yes, God is not me. God is not you. But guess what? He lives in you. He lives in me. He did not create the world and wash his hand and went do something else. No, he created the world. He is present in the world. He rules the world. And he saves the world. He is the light of this world. That's what this claim means. So with all of that, there are objections, Jesus' defense, and this beautiful claim. I think we learned a lot today. And what can we do with all this doctrine that we learn? How can we put this into practice tomorrow? I have two applications for us. One, it's at the beginning. One, it's at the end. Follow him and ID, identity. Verse 12, as soon as Jesus tells you the claim, I am the light of the world, he says, follow me. Whoever follows me. We just learned Jesus, the reason of life, theology, spiritual claims. You don't search, test, inquiry, criticize, put on a lab. You don't. If you do that, you're not understanding what the claim means, what the claim is all about. How do you know that he is the light of the world? Simple. Follow him. Now, just a checkup question. How many of you have been Christians for more than 20 years? How many of you are more sure today that he is the light than you were 20 years ago? The more you follow him, the more you know the claim is true. That's the way you know, not through all those other nonsense. So here's the first application. Follow him and you know he's the light. Second one, and this one is the one I want to stress the most, church. We need to have the right identity. Everybody repeat with me, please. Identity. That's so important. So important. Let us read verse 19 here. You do not know me or my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father as also. I'll give you, church, one illustration so you understand. Suppose God blesses our church with two babies. One from one family and the other is my baby. Future goose. Okay. So, these two boys were born same time. They're going to come to the same church. They're going to have the same pastor. They're going to have the same members, friends. They're going to go to the same school. They're going to have same opportunities. Boy number one, boy number two. Boy number one was born in a family where his identity is protected. He's loved. He doesn't need to prove himself all the time. He knows he is loved by who he is, not by what he does. When he is an adult, he knows that Papa and Mama consider him pure gold. Kid number two was born in a conflicted house where he always needs to prove himself. Nothing that he does, it's good. If he takes an A+, there is no compliment. If he gets a B, he's grounded. And his identity is crushed. When there's two are adults, who is going to be a better boy? Kid number A or kid number B? The one who had their identity protected. Everything Jesus does, church, everything, he's always saying this, my Father. Why do you heal? Because of my Father. Why do you go to the cross? Because of my Father. Why do you claim to be who you are? Because of my Father. Who is your witness? Because of my Father. Everybody abandons him. My Father doesn't. Jesus is who he is because his identity, it's unshakable. Right? And so, I want you to read with me again verse 19. You do not know me or my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. What amazes me, church, is that these men, they all read the Bible. They read the Bible day after day. They go to synagogue Sabbath after Sabbath. They are doctors. And they read the Bible. And they don't see the Father. They see moralism. They see traditions. They see a conduct. They see a general. They see everything. But they don't see the Father. And you and I, remember I started this sermon affirming your identity. Remember, I called you all normal. Remember? You are all normal. We, normal people, when we look to scriptures, we see the Father and we see Jesus. It is Genesis. We see the Father, we see Jesus. We are reading genealogy. Is it the Father? Is it Jesus? We are reading a very tough text. We find the Father, we find Jesus. We are His children. Amen? Amen. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you so much. You are the light of this world. We are the light of this church. You are the light of our church and our lives. Let your light shine and bless this church. In Jesus' name, amen.